Great and mighty is our God. Great and mighty is our God. So worthy. My. He loves to inhabit the praises of his people. He loves to just come and sit upon our praise and our worship. Hallelujah. I'm a firm believer that some people don't always understand our praise. Some people online don't. Some people that we worship with don't. But that's because you don't understand my problem. See, you'll begin to understand sometimes our radical praise when you can relate to sometimes the problems that we've come through, the things that he's brought us through, the things he's delivered us from, the things that he's healed us from, the things that he's restored to us that we've lost. And so sometimes our praise can become so radicalized, we'll say it that way, radicalized that it's almost, what is that about? Well, it's because if God's ever brought you through something or from something or it helped you to endure something, then you can begin to understand my praise. Until he's done that for you, some of you would think, oh, we're crazy. We've lost our mind. But see, we know what it is to have a deliverer. We know what it is to have a Savior. We know what it is to have a healer as our God, our mighty God. And so we've gotten to know him more and more. And when you get to know who he is, when you get to really understand the God that he is, how loving and how awesome and how gracious and how powerful, how majestic and how marvelous that he is, then you'll begin to find yourself worshiping in new ways too. You'll begin to find yourself just smiling and sometimes shouting or singing a little louder or clapping maybe when you wouldn't, but it's about you getting to know him. I'm not talking about knowing about him. I mean getting to know him. Knowing him personally, knowing that, like when we said earlier, that here comes Jesus, that you sensed what I sensed and you felt him walk in the room. That's what it is to know him. If you didn't feel that, then you don't know him. And you need to come to the altar and get saved. Hallelujah. That's not a judgment. That's reality. Because when you really get to know him, you will sense him when he is near. And you will sense his rebuke when he is unhappy. And you will sense and know what it is he's trying to accomplish in the space of time that we dwell in. He walks in a room. Like he did today. Just for a moment, if you would. Well, we'll get to the message. I'm not going to get to share it in its fullness, but we'll get there. But just for a moment, I want you to imagine that he walked in the room at the opening of the service when I said, here comes Jesus. And that he's sitting beside of you. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Because all through the Gospels we read where the religious leaders always try to shut people up when Jesus was in the room. That's just typical church people right there. Oh, don't shout. Don't get radical. That's not good. Don't do that. Don't bother him. Don't ask for that. But repeatedly, story after story, people that were way too desperate to be denied shouted all the louder or shoved their way through a crowd just but to touch the hem of his garment that they might be whole. Because they believed in what they had heard, not even so much as what they seen, but what they heard. And so when you hear that he's in the room, I preached that message too last year, in the room. How many remember? Jesus was in the room. Oh, there's some good archives right there in the room. That was one of the best. And here he is in the room again. What is it that you're going to do? Are we going to allow ourselves to leave and be unchanged? Or are we going to allow ourselves to leave and click off the internet as some of you do? You sit there with your cup of coffee and in your pajamas and you didn't have to get up and go nowhere. Are you just going to allow yourself to stop watching today or us leave and us come back tonight and everything be like it was when we walked in when he is in the room? Because when he comes in the room, he comes in with purpose. See, we often live without purpose, but anytime he shows up, there's purpose. There's a demand on the anointing. And so the challenge for the church is that when he shows up like this, what demand are you and I going to put on the anointing? Uh-huh. What demand will I put on it? I know it's cute to sing that song, "We Wait for You," but most of the church won't wait. It's cute. It sounds nice to sing a song about waiting on God. Most of y'all can't stand to wait 2 minutes and 30 seconds for the microwave to heat up your food. We huff and puff in the line at Wally World or Target. Come on. I do it all the time. We huff and puff at the drive-thru at the bank. And then we'll come to church and we'll sing a cute song, "We Wait for You." He's like, "No, you ain't." But see, from the moment we opened this morning, here came Jesus. And he already entered the place for whatever it is that you have need of. Isn't that what Jesus declared to the man? He came running to Jesus and Jesus says, "What is it that you want?" What do you want? What do you want from Jesus? What do we really want? What can I do for you that you yell for me from a distance? What can I do for you that you shout above all the crowd and in spite of the religious leaders hushing you and shushing you? What is it that you want, Jesus said. He says, "I want to be made well. I want to be made whole." The Bible said he was made whole that very hour. What do you want? Because here comes Jesus. Here comes Jesus. Mm-hmm. Here comes Jesus. Yes. Here comes Jesus. I'm going to read briefly some of this text. Lord Jesus. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke 2. I don't have a lot of time, but I got just enough time. Because I know you all got to be back before long. Just enough time to give you this. Luke chapter 2. I like the text and the way in which Luke writes the Christmas story. So I'm going to read through this. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 4. I'm going to read through it rather quickly. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which was called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Verse 8. Watch this verse. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to all this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." Jump down to verse 20. And it says, "Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them." Yes, glorifying God, praising for all the things that they had heard and seen. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you that you will help us in this moment. Father, just release your spirit and your anointing. Just increase in this room your presence. And Father, you will speak what needs to be heard and do what needs to be seen in this place today. Let the flow of your anointing, God, take over from this moment and have your mighty, mighty way in this place and in everything that we do. And we give you the glory and praise and honor for it. In Jesus, your mighty name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. This was an epic moment in history that we read about. Really, this was an epic moment in history that we read about in Scripture right here in Luke chapter 2. Think about this and why it was so epic. There was nothing in history that had preceded this moment. Oftentimes, we'll hear on the news that there's a precedent for one thing or the other in decisions that government makes. As a church, there's sometimes a precedent that goes forward that determines which way we'll go on things, right? In other words, there's a little history into making that decision. Doctors determine whether they'll do surgery on you or not based on the precedent of people who have had the condition like you before you. This is a moment in history where nothing like it had ever happened before. There was nowhere to look for anything similar. It made me wonder and think about, as I read this text, I wonder if Mary and Joseph really could appreciate the value of that moment. That here they are, the first in history. Nothing like this had ever happened before. We've heard this scripture preached every which way, and every time Christmas rolls around, I'm always like, "God, show me another way to teach and preach this." And he continues to do so. this is a marvelous moment where there was nothing of its kind ever done before. Epic. So epic that the Bible says in what we just read that it was so epic that heaven began to shout. The Bible says the angels started rejoicing. Anytime we see in Scripture that the angels begin to rejoice over something, it should absolutely cause you and I to want to begin to rejoice too. What's even more profound about this text and important about this moment is here the angels are shouting about something that they couldn't even benefit from. You do realize they're angels. They're not going to benefit from the Savior coming that was promised, right? They're not going to benefit from this. They're not going to benefit from all the prophecies that said there's a substitution coming and that the Messiah is coming. They're praising God even though they don't get to receive salvation like we do. Redemption like we do. Are you following me? So here the angels are rejoicing over something that they could not even benefit from. And here we are. We benefit from something that we don't even shout about. Oh, come on, somebody. All the stuff, let's just look at Luke 2 today, but all the stuff through Scripture that we see angels that shout about, that heaven will begin to glorify God about, specifically right here, they're rejoicing and shouting about something that they don't get to benefit from, and we get to benefit from something that we won't even shout about. You've heard me say, a quiet church is a dead church. It's true. Most quiet churches or dead churches are usually right plucked near a cemetery. That way we don't have to take them very far. You know, I'm not judging, I'm just saying. When heaven rejoices, we need to rejoice. And especially rejoice when we're the benefactor. We're the benefactor. Here comes Jesus. Whew. Here comes Jesus. Here comes Jesus. There's so many things about the text, deep things. We often just read and miss. Let's not overlook the fact that the text, and we know it well, the Bible says that to enter Bethlehem, and yet there was no room. In other words, there was no place for you. How many have ever felt like there was just no place for you? Some of us know what it is that we're anointed to do something and there's no place for you. I know what it is when you start sensing that you're anointed and you're called to ministry and yet there's nowhere for you to preach. Or you have a song burning in your heart and nobody will let you sing. Or you yearn to worship or to serve God in some way and yet there's no room. Or we have a business in us or maybe we have a book in us but we don't have anyone to publish it. Or we went and got a degree and we can't figure out what we got the degree for in the first place because now there's nowhere to use it. Oh, come on, I can't be the only one that wasted money on a degree that I don't even use. And yet here's Mary. The angel said to her, oh, you're favored. I don't know about you, but there's been times where
I've been told that I'm favored. Yet there was still no room for me. You know, when you sit in at a table like we do this time of year with family or friends, or in a room like this, or tonight we're gonna sit around in a room full of all of you and our partners, and yet we'll almost feel out of place. Like there's no room. Here's Mary, told that you're favored. Almost 9 months pregnant, riding in on this 90-mile journey. And it wasn't an easy journey. Let me just try to get to where I need to go. This same journey a woman named Rachel made in the Old Testament, In the Old Testament, Bethlehem was known as Ephrathah. And the Bible says that Rachel made the same journey, and just outside Ephrathah, she gave birth to a son, Benoni, son of my sorrows. And in giving birth, she died. Now, there's a few reasons for that. One is because I believe that the Messiah was prophesied. And even though she did give birth to a king, God wanted to be darn sure that you don't mistake a king for the King of Kings. Come on, somebody. So he said, I'll let you give birth, but you're going to give birth just short of reaching the place that I have favored for my son. And so Mary rides in, and every door that Joseph knocked on, there was no room. Some of you men might know what it is, that everything you put your hand to, you get frustrated because it feels like it don't work, like it isn't fruitful. But just keep knocking, and just keep walking, and just keep looking. Because see, I love this story because it immediately, that it sets it up for me, April, and lets me know Jesus wasn't born in a palace for a few reasons, but the most important and profound, I believe, is Jesus wasn't born in a palace because if he had been, that would have meant I would have had no access. I couldn't get to him. So the Bible says that after they were told there's no room, keep walking, and without street lights in the darkest of night, Joseph looks a little further down the road and sees something in the field. They find their way to a stable. The king of Saudi Arabia and Iran, they don't have those kinds of accommodations. Our president doesn't have those kind of accommodations. Any king that has ever arrived on the earth arrives in velvet, plush atmospheres. There's nurses and helpmates and servants, but not my God. Not our Savior. The reason I wanted you to focus in Luke 2 verse 8 every time I think I've preached the Christmas story the last possible way. Sister Cynthia, you've been following my sermons. I didn't think I could get another one. Verse 8 says, now they were in the same country, shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And the Bible says that the angel appeared to the shepherds. I don't know about you, but Mary had already gotten a word that she was favored, and then the angel left. Isn't that just like God? To give me a word, declaring something over my life, and then when the heat gets turned up, he gets quiet. And instead, sends a word to somebody else. Come on, I know what it is to be so desperate. I just shared a few weeks ago how desperate I was several years ago because I had a situation I was dealing with that I needed God to move. I mean, really move. And I went searching and knocking. We went to one church, and then that church, it was just dead. And we left and drove to another one in West Virginia, and that's where he met me. But all the while I was searching, the weeks leading up to that and the fear building in me, everybody else was getting a word. And you know, you get to the point where you're like, hey, God, here's Mary, really pregnant. And the angel didn't show up to her to coach her and say, come on, you can do it just a little bit further. Some of you know what I mean. When you're at your wit's end and you're ready to give up, sometimes we just need God to give us a little cheering on. Sometimes we just need a brother or sister in the Lord to give us a hug and say, hey, God loves you. I'm with you. We're praying for you. But it's often in those moments when God is silent. And so the angel appears to the shepherds. And I thought, for real? For real? And we always do our cute church plays, and they minimize the role of the shepherds, and it's because the church hadn't got the revelation yet. The shepherds, the Bible says, were in the same country in the field. Then I realize we've seen this before. You said last Sunday about the law of first mention that I teach. Oh, everybody who wants to be a preacher, get to know this. I'll teach you, and it will change the way that you preach and the way that you see the word. Whew. We've seen shepherds in the field before. I'll prove it. Some of you are looking at me like I've lost my mind. But when I dropped this revelation, I don't care how bad it's been, you'll be able to say, here comes Jesus. In Genesis, we saw shepherds in the field. Anybody know? There's a story of Cain and Abel. Oh, Scott, by theologian, he'll steady it up. Watch this. Cain and Abel. God spoke to both these brothers and said, bring me an offering. Abel brought an offering that was pleasing to the Lord from the pasture. A blood sacrifice. Cain, the Bible said, was a tiller of the ground, of the field. The Bible said that after God rebuked Cain's offering, Cain walked off. Read on into the story, and the Bible says that Abel, his brother, came into the field. Watch. If Cain was a man shepherding over a flock that brought a sacrifice to God that was a blood sacrifice, that makes him then a shepherd. Does it not? If I quit the ministry right now and go buy myself a farm, put sheep on it, walk with my sheep, sleep with my sheep, take care of them, does not that make me? And so, Abel, the shepherd, comes into the field of his brother Cain. And the Bible says that Cain was wroth, angry, and he killed his brother. Well, wait a minute. The shepherd was killed. Say, how does this line up with the Christmas story? I got to leave out some stuff. But I promise you, I'm going to do my best to connect it right here. See, Abel is really a shadow of Christ in the Old Testament. Cain is a shadow of the enemy. It appears when you read the text that Cain is victorious, kills his brother. What the Christmas story is at a basic level is God serving notice. Here comes Jesus. Watch this. Luke 2 says, now there were in the same country shepherds in the field. What? Wait a minute. Did I not just say that Abel was a shepherd in the pasture? So why were the shepherds in the field? Think about this. A pasture is where a sheep go, they graze there. And at night especially, they go into the sheepfold to stay safe. Here they are in the dark of night in a field, eating what is being grown for vegetation and growth and for harvest, and the shepherds are letting them eat the harvest. What's that about? See, you got to pay attention to the Bible. It'll flip things around on you. You got to say, there's something here. Truth be told, if we were to record all the works and deeds and words of Jesus, we couldn't handle it. What we get with the Bible is a very minimal amount, and so it means every word is very important. So you got to pay attention to things like that. Why are the shepherds in the field? And why is the angel taking time to speak to the shepherds? And not the one who's favored. Got you curious yet? We'll finish it next week. I'm joking. I'm doing all right. I took this word that was this big and I did this with it. Thank you, Jesus. Here comes Jesus. Here comes Jesus. Here comes Jesus.
Here comes Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So the shepherds are in the field, not in the pasture, not in a safe place. The shepherds and their sheep are in a vulnerable place, susceptible to an attack. In the dark of night, but over yonder in a stable, a baby is about to be born. And the angel shows up to the shepherds and says, "You're keeping watch over the wrong sheep." You're watching the wrong lamb. And the angel tells them, I want you to leave your flock in the middle of a vulnerable place. They're going to be fine. Ain't no wolf going to get them. I want you to go. The shepherds that you are, to see the real lamb, to see the good shepherd that just has stepped on the scene of earth, the one that has been promised and prophesied, he's here. And so I want you to go take a peek at the one and the only, the good shepherd. Hallelujah. So the angel visits the shepherds, not Mary and Joseph in this moment, not the one who's in labor, not her, not the woman who's frustrated and at her wits end and just wants it to be over. The Bible says that, no, Mary is in the stable, they're in the manger, and she places him, the Bible says she wraps him in swaddling clothes, which I've taught you are milk rags. She wraps the milk of the word in milk rags. Now don't miss it, because I know it's cute and it makes for a nice picture. And then she lays him in a little feeding trough. That's what it is. King of kings and Lord of lords, wrapped up in stinky, smelly milk rags, but it's prophetic. Milk of the word, all wrapped up in milk rags, and then she places them in a feeding trough. Because is he not describe himself even as the bread of life? Is he also not described as the harvest? And so what the animals would normally eat out of, he says, no, it's prophetic even when he's brought into the world that I am the bread of life. I am the God of the harvest. We're not done yet. We're fixing to just find out. Here comes Jesus. See how thoughtful every part of the word is. When God thought the plan to bring the Messiah, the promised one, King of kings and Lord of lords, Jesus Christ, he thought of you. That you could connect every dot, and that every part of Scripture would let you know that you and I were on his mind. He didn't miss one detail. Not one. In the grand display of him coming to earth through a virgin. Thank you, Jesus. The Bible says, the angel tells those shepherds, I want you to leave your sheep and go look in that barn, because you're watching the wrong sheep. You're looking at the wrong lamb. In other words, what that angel was telling them, watch this, that the angel was telling them, none of your sheep, none of the blood from any of your sheep is going to resolve the sin issue of the world.
None of the blood from any of your sheep has the ability to set the captive free. None of the blood from any of the sheep that you have in your flock are going to be able to loose the bonds and loose those that are bound. But the angel was saying, but there is a lamb that just came into the world whose blood will redeem the world from sin and death. See, what Jesus is doing in coming to the world is he's reenacting what Cain and Abel did. You got to follow me closely because I'm doing it in a hurry. Remember, I said we've seen this before. When Abel came into the field, it was only when it happened in the Old Testament that Cain killed Abel. Remember last week I said, can't touch this? Nah, 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 nah. This is Jesus saying, can't touch this. I'm going to do a reenactment, but I am serving notice to the enemy. Why is this important? Because watch this. Remember, the Bible says that Satan was cast out of heaven. He was cast out of heaven. He was given reign over the earth. The earth was his jurisdiction. And this is God letting Satan know, there's no place you can go that I can't get you. That I can come into the... You may have killed the shadow of me. But as the word declares, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Thy rod and thy staff, they come for me. This is Jesus serving notice to the enemy for you and I. That it don't no matter where we are, it doesn't matter where we go, it doesn't matter where we what we have gotten ourselves into. I've made some bad decisions in life. Man, I've done some wrong stuff. But every time I found myself in a situation where it felt like, because of something I did, or it just felt like God was silent, I can go back to Luke 2 and remember that God loves me so much that he'll come to where I am. That he loves me so much, even the Bible says there is no place that the devil can go that he can hide from God. This is Jesus arriving as a baby servant. Notice to the enemy, I'll find you. And I'll drive you out of the field that is yours. Uh-huh. I'm going to come into your territory. Abel came into the field and was killed. Jesus said, I will come into the field and I will be glorified. And some of you say, well, wait a minute, that didn't work out too well. Jesus was crucified. Uh-huh. All part of the plan. And if you think that he failed, keep reading. Keep reading. I share this word, and I'll stop right here. There's some deep revelation. Maybe we'll get to some of it next week. About the Christmas story, beyond the milk rags and beyond that he is the bread of life and beyond the good shepherd. The reason the angel spoke to the shepherds was, yes, to tell them you're watching the wrong lamb. Yes, to tell them none of yours will bring redemption to the world. None of yours are going to bring salvation. But it was really to get them to go and see this thing, which was promised, and then to go and tell the world. What was it that they had to go tell the world? Here comes Jesus. Here comes Jesus. if you summarize everything the angel says, I'm simplifying it. I like to simplify the word. The angels charge the shepherds, go and tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is Lord. I want you to go let the world know. Here comes Jesus. The angel says, I want you to go tell the cripple. Here comes Jesus. And I want you to go tell those that are bankrupt. Here comes Jesus. And I want you to go tell every person that's hopeless and about to commit suicide. Here comes Jesus. I want you to tell every broken marriage, here comes Jesus. And I want you to remind the devil, here comes Jesus. Are you seeing what I'm saying? That it's a reminder to you and I that the Christmas story needs to be a reminder to you and I in our life where we are right now. I don't care how hopeless things are. I don't care how high the prices of things keep going. Here comes Jesus. I don't care how reckless things seem to be. I don't care how desperate people seem they may be. I don't care how high the crime rate goes. I don't care how depressed you are. I don't care how many medications you are on. I don't care if you need a psych med, a bipolar med, a depression med, and something else. Here comes Jesus. I don't care if you have $1.10 in your checking account. Here comes Jesus. I don't care if they diagnosed you with cancer yesterday. Here comes Jesus. I don't care if you're about to lose a limb, a leg, a brain cell, or anything else in this life. Here comes Jesus. The angel commissioned the shepherds to tell the world, here comes Jesus. And what he commissioned me to do is to just tell you, here comes Jesus. 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 In other words, he wants you and I. He wants you and I to announce to every demon, the shepherd is here. You see, that's the other part of the, if I keep talking, I'll just keep going. But see, it's the other reason the angel talked to the shepherds. Because they were shepherds in the field, but the good shepherd is here. And so the angel needed to announce the arrival of the good shepherd. David says it all the time, Jesus is my shepherd. The good shepherd is here. The good shepherd is here. We need to announce to not just every demon that the shepherd is here. We need to announce to every disease. You do realize the origination of that word disease that we use in the English language, if you begin to separate it, it really means to make you at dis-ease. How many of you want to see some people, I mean, healed and totally healed? The shepherd is here. I believe from the moment that we opened service and I said those words, here comes Jesus. He said, I've come to set you free from dis-ease. You don't have to be uneasy, weary, tired, and worn. You don't have to be any of those things. He comes and wants you and I to announce to every heartache that the shepherd is here. Let me break it down like this, and we're gonna close right here. See, what do I mean? The shepherd is here. That here comes Jesus. Well, David answered it pretty simply when he says in Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Stop right there. Period. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. There's so much, if you keep reading,
right there, the purpose of the shepherd, the reason you and I need to declare and decree over ourselves, here comes Jesus. It's because he's our shepherd, and we shall not want. It goes on, and there's so many good things in Psalms 23. I won't re-preach it because I've preached it. But it goes on and says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. In other words, all the days of my life are going to be changed because the shepherd is in the field. And because the shepherd that's in the field is the Lord, my shepherd. In other words, he's saying to you today, I've come right where you are. That he will come right in the territory of the enemy to get you. He'll come and rescue you from any situation you got yourself into. He is the good shepherd that will rescue your child from themselves. He will rescue us from the deepest, darkest places of despair. He is the good shepherd that will rescue you and I from COVID-19. Or Omicron, or whatever the world is called now. He's such a shepherd that he will rescue us time and time again in all the ways like he has through Scripture. He's the shepherd that will rescue me from depression. See, we need to serve notice and begin to tell everything that's been afflicting us and ailing us, here comes Jesus. That's why I love Psalms 34 and 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us from them all. I quote it all the time and I say it all the time. That's the one scripture I say, Lord, I thank you for the but. Not that but. God knows what I mean. Lord, I thank you for the but. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us from them all. Why? Because he is the good shepherd. And the good shepherd will come into the field of the territory of the enemy, and it will drive out depression. It will drive out suicide. It will drive out disease. It will drive out heaviness. It will drive out financial burden. It will drive out brokenness. It will drive out every area of that you are wounded and hurting and sorrowful. That's who he is. That's the God that we serve. And so I want to encourage you today, if you will stand to your feet, that the good shepherd has entered the field. And the good shepherd is no longer a baby in a manger. Oh no. That's why we can say your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Because he groaned. Good shepherd is here. And I want to encourage every person in this room that if you've been worried about anything, wrestling with anything, if you've not been at ease, I want you just to begin to worship God. Right where you are. Because here comes Jesus. Here comes Jesus. Here comes Jesus. Here comes Jesus. He was born in a manger in a field to serve notice to the enemy. That I can come to where you are, that you cannot outrun me. I need you to believe that about you and your circumstance, that he has come to where you are, and that whatever has been afflicting, the Lord delivers you from them all.
He delivers you from them all. The shepherd is in the field. I shall not want. So I only have one other thing to say. Hey, devil, here comes Jesus. Here comes Jesus. Here comes Jesus. Just worship Him. If you can identify with the word and you say, that's me, I'm grateful and I'm thankful that Jesus has come on my behalf. Just worship Him. Just praise Him. Just praise Him. It may be new for you to lift your hand. It might be new for you just to thank Him. But I want you to understand, it's you signaling, look, here comes Jesus to my circumstance. Here comes Jesus to my life, to my marriage, to my money, to my health, to my child, to my burdens, to my disease, to everything that has been afflicting me. Here comes Jesus. I'm not gonna just breeze through this Christmas season and know the story of little baby Jesus in a manger, but that He came and was born in a manger to prophesy to my situation that He'll come right where I am, right when I need Him, that even He'll go up against the enemy. That's why the word says 1,000 can fall on one side and 10,000 at the other, and it won't come near me, because He, Jesus, will come where I am. He will come where I am. And so, Father, I just want to pray right now over every person that says, this word's for me. This word's for me. Father, I just pray and I decree and I declare over your people today, here you come. Here comes Jesus. I thank you that, Lord, the shepherd is in the field. That, Lord, that means you're in our midst. That, Lord, you're within reach to be able to do whatever it is that needs done today. God, and so we just believe. Lord, we just put our faith and hope and trust in you right now. That this is not just a story of a baby being born, but it's prophetic to my life. That no matter how far I've gone or how bad we mess things up, here comes Jesus. That it doesn't even matter in your silence, because even when you're silent, you're still on your way. That even though you were silent to Mary and Joseph after the initial declaration, you still arrived. That, Lord, even though you might not be speaking right now, and even though we might be a little bit restless right now, and God, even though we might be sensing all kinds of emotions and things going on this life, God, I'm grateful to know that the shepherd is in the field. Here comes Jesus. So to every financial burden and to every physical hindrance right now, to every area of disease in our life, I decree and I declare over you, here comes Jesus. To every devil and satanic attack that has been coming against the body of Christ and people's minds and their and the very favor of God on you, to every way in which the enemy has been pursuing you, devil, I just serve notice to you as a reminder, as it was in Luke chapter 2, here comes Jesus. To every ache in our body that seems to never go away, I just declare and speak over you, here comes Jesus. To every area of lack in our life right now, where it doesn't appear to be more than enough, I just declare over you, here comes Jesus. To every rebellious child that seems as though they've forgotten everything that we ever taught them, that seems to be ignoring the very call and anointing of God, we just say one thing over that child, here comes Jesus. To a city that looks like it's full of poverty and crime and like people are losing their mind, we just say one thing, here comes Jesus. To my body that doesn't operate the way that God's word says so, when it says that we're to prosper and be in good health, I say one thing, here comes Jesus. To every area of my life that is not working the way that I know and I believe that God intended in my life to operate, I declare one more thing over my life, here comes Jesus. Now give God praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Here comes Jesus. I'm going to let y'all leave. Would you prepare to leave? And on your way out, we'll give you an opportunity on your way out to sow your tithe and your offering. I was going to actually do it earlier today. And as you give, the Bible just says one thing. Moreover, it's required that a steward be found faithful. Just faithful. And as you're faithful in your giving, He is faithful to you. He is faithful to you. Hallelujah. My God. You all are going to have so many things to be declaring over your life. I even put together, we didn't do prayer points, and I do prayer points, meaning confessions. We didn't do them this month, and I forgot, and the Lord reminded me as I was preparing this word, and so I prepared prayer points, confessions for you to pray over yourself, your life, your family. You can grab one on your way out if you want. All the things I've encouraged you to say over these last few weeks, can't touch this. What else? Now here comes Jesus. Yes. Yeah, you're lying on me. Tell your house, your car, your job, you're lying on me. You do realize those are confessions you need to be using now. When the devil raises his head or you get news that doesn't seem like God's word, you just need to declare, here comes Jesus. And watch God show up. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. We're going to pray over your seed that it be blessed and multiplied back to you. People that are watching online, you can give online. People in this room, you can give here. You can give online if you need to. Hallelujah. Whew. Praise you, Lord. I just sense His glory. Remember, as soon as we get done, if you'll help us pull back the chairs and bring up the tables, we'd appreciate it. My God. My God. My God. Father, I thank you that, Lord, now as we give, you will bless, multiply, and bring increase to the lives of your people. I speak over their finances. I speak over unexpected expense. Here comes Jesus. As they're faithful in their giving, be faithful in their blessing, in their abundance. And I'll give you the glory and the honor and the praise for it right now. In Jesus, your mighty name. Amen and amen.